Hello, folks. I hope you had a chance to watch the debate last night, as I did. It was quite a show, very intense. It had a very intense atmosphere, but essentially the moderator, who personally I thought did a poor job because he couldn't control the candidates and he kept interjecting himself into the debate as another debater. But it was divided into three segments, and the first segment was achieving prosperity, or how would you bring jobs to America, that sort of thing. The second portion of the debate was America's direction, which really kind of devolved into an argument about race. And finally, it was securing America. Those were the three divisions that the candidates were questioned on. So what I'm going to do today is give my answers as if I had been in the debate. What would I say about achieving prosperity? Now, the two candidates last night spent a lot of time on achieving prosperity. It was set into 30-minute segments, but the first one went far beyond 30 minutes as they argued back and forth about what they would do about achieving prosperity. Well, for me, it came down to really two things. Mrs. Clinton, and I'm going to call her Mrs. Clinton today rather than address her by the title of some job that she had several years ago. Mrs. Clinton, her argument was essentially old-style socialism. That is, we're going to take from you for what we're going to call the common good. She's upfront about the fact that she's going to raise taxes, and she believes that will bring prosperity because she's going to use these taxes in a nation, keep in mind now, a nation that already has $20 trillion worth of debt that it admits to, and many trillions that it doesn't admit to, an unfunded mandate. She's going to use these taxes that she takes from us. She calls it the rich, but you know how that goes, folks. The rich, that comes down lower and lower in income. She's going to raise taxes, and she's going to use that money to provide benefits out of the public treasury for those selected people that she wants to provide the benefits for, and that is achieving prosperity. Mr. Trump says, on the other hand, that he would lower taxes. He's taking kind of a Reagan-esque approach to jobs. He would lower taxes. He would take away regulations on business, and business would then lose its incentive to journey abroad for cheaper wages. Those companies that choose to go abroad, he would charge a tax on their goods, a tariff, to bring those goods back to America. I think both of these are wrong approaches. I'm certainly not in favor of raising taxes. I'm not in favor of taxes at all. If you look at my tax plan, it would bring far more prosperity than what either one of these people seem to indicate, and that is that the income tax would go away. People could keep all their income. To me, that would be a tremendous growth stimulator. What would it feel like if you kept all your income? Or ask another way, if you make a dollar, how much of that dollar are you required to give to the government? If the government could get its revenue some other way, like from state assessments and things like that, wouldn't it be nice to keep all your income? I do agree with Mr. Trump that taxes should be lowered, but I think they should be lowered to zero, at least federal income taxes. I do agree with him about regulation. We have to remove regulation, not put more regulation on business as Mrs. Clinton wants to do. She wants to punish those who have been successful in America so that what she calls the common good can be served. So taxing program, I believe that taxes should be assessed like the census to the states. In other words, if your state has 1% of the nation's population, then it should pay 1% of the budget. It's a long program that I don't have time to go into on this video, but it would bring tremendous prosperity and job growth to America. Taxes do not spur growth. They inhibit growth. Taxes do not bring jobs. They kill jobs. The other thing she wants to do is federally raise the minimum wage. Well, that's another job killer. All she's really doing by doing that, it sounds good. Everybody loves it because they're going to make more money, except they won't be working. See, this kind of happens in Venezuela. Everything's free there, but there's nothing. You know, in a country that its number one product is petroleum. There's no petroleum. Education's free, but there's no education. That's what happens in a socialistic economy. It's the wrong answer. It's just more of the same, more of the same thing that doesn't work. That's what she wants to do. Mr. Trump is out there experimenting, trying to, as I said, to bring a Reagan-esque approach to it, which did work to a certain extent. But achieving prosperity, I would do it through through the tax plan that I mentioned, through lowering regulations, through decreasing government spending, not increasing it, and let the people who were keeping their income increase growth and bring jobs to America. That would be my plan. Now, number two, the second part of the discussion was America's future, or America's direction, I think they called it. And as I said, that program kind of devolved, that question kind of devolved into an argument about race. The moderator introduced the question by talking about the racial problems that that have happened during this great 8 years of healing that Barack Obama has brought to America. Racial healing, bring us together, and all that stuff. He pointed out that there have been a lot of incidents, a lot of shootings by the police against people in the black community and that sort of thing. White police officers shooting black people, although I think the last one was a black officer who shot a black person. So that's kind of how the discussion went. And in the discussion, Mrs. Clinton said that implicit bias, this is a quote I wrote down from her, implicit bias is a problem for all of us. In other words, what that sentence really means is we're all racist. We're all racist, and we should examine ourselves about that. Well, I vehemently disagree with that. I'm not a racist. I doubt if you are either. So I don't think implicit bias is a problem for us, and that we should go around constantly examining ourselves about our privilege or the fact that we may think we're all racist. I will say that the militaristic attitude of various police departments is a problem. That seems obvious to me that it is. The police armed like the military. They dress like the military. They use military tactics. And it's a problem in the inner cities of America. Be honest about it, folks. I'm not quite sure how we bring racial healing to this country. I do know that it's on the fine edge racially. That seems obvious. As Mr. Trump pointed out last night in Chicago, thousands of people have been killing each other for quite some time now. I mean, the murder rate is astronomical. As I've said before, if we had a casualty rate like that in Afghanistan, we'd be appalled, but no one says a thing about it. In Chicago, hundreds of people every year, maybe 400 or 500 people a year, are killed by shooting each other in the streets of Chicago. A terrible, terrible thing that happens year after year, and it's getting worse under the racial healing of President Obama. He doesn't seem to care. He never says anything about it. What are we going to do about that? Well, folks, I'm not really sure. I mean, but if I were president, I know that I would try to bring together a group of people of all different races who could address these problems and advise me as to what could be done in the inner cities of America to try to relieve this tension and to relieve some of the of the violence that's there. The other part of this argument, Mr. Trump says, Ms. Clinton says her approach would be some kind of we're all racist and we should all just get along kind of approach. And he says we should use a law and order approach. We need law and order in the cities, he said. He wants to reinstitute a stop and frisk, regardless of what the Supreme Court says and regardless of the fact that that violates the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable searches and things like that. The Constitution, I don't think, was ever mentioned in this debate, not one time. And that's because neither person, although whoever's elected will take an oath to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, I don't think either one of them has any intent whatsoever to honor that oath because they never mention it. But stop and frisk is a clear constitutional violation, and so that's not something that we can do. Mr. Trump says law and order. He kept repeating it. We have to have law and order. So he must think that there's a constituency out there somewhere that wants to hear that argument. Well, we've got quite a bit of law and order going on right now. The police and the individuals out there in the cities of our country are killing each other left and right. I might point out to you that these are all Democrat cities. The cities that are having the problems, Charlotte, North Carolina, where the riots are going on right now, or as they like to say on the mainstream media, the protests. And in Chicago, where people are essentially at war in the streets, and some 500 a year are actually gunned down in the streets of Chicago. Many other Democrat cities across the country, Detroit, Cleveland, Washington, D.C., to name just a few, Houston, Texas. All these cities run by Democrats, there's war in the streets. Why is this? The Democrats must not have a very good program going to try to solve these problems. So something should be done if they could be assisted on the federal level. And there's authority to do that. Something should be done. And as I said, I freely admit I don't quite know what that is. Now, folks, the final thing I want to say about America's direction is really just an explanation that I have about why there's some militarism in the police, why the police sometimes behave in a militaristic fashion when they could behave more calmly and so forth. Many of these police officers are combat veterans from the Desert Wars. If you'll check, you'll find that's true. A great percentage of police officers coming out of the military from the Desert Wars. And in wartime, the rules of engagement are completely different than they are in the streets of America, but it's hard to get that out of your mind. These people are veterans where they their rule of engagement, their direction, their mentality is close with and destroy the enemy, kill the enemy. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in a job where their rule of engagement is to protect and to serve. Those are two different things, and they're in constant conflict. Anyway, this is an idea that I have. I believe it to be true. So some type of retraining, counseling, whatever, to let people know that the same aggressive, confrontational attitude that served them when they were at war is not what's needed on the streets of America now. Now, the final point of discussion that was in the debate was called securing America, securing America. So they obviously wanted to talk about terrorism and what can be done. The moderator introduced the segment by asking them about cybersecurity. Well, I will admit that technology is not my thing, but if you listen to the two candidates last night, you understand that it's not their thing either. They really didn't have much to say about cybersecurity. Mrs. Clinton droned on about how she would do what needed to be done to protect the secrets of America, which, as you may be laughing right now, as I was when I heard her answer. I mean, how hypocritical is that? This person who delivered many secrets into the hands of foreign governments. In fact, I was just heard yesterday that one of her assistants once left a bunch of classified information in a washroom in Russia. This is a person who says she's going to protect America's cybersecurity. Now, it is laughable, but that's what she said. Mr. Trump just said it was a problem, and they both talked about how it's a problem. She blamed Russia for everything. Russia's hacking into the American government, and he pointed out quite clearly that she has no idea who that really is. She doesn't know who hacked into the Democrat National Committee. It could have been Russia, could have been China, as he said. It could have been, the way he described it, could have been some 400-pound guy sitting in his bedroom. Who knows who hacked into it? But he did point out that they found some interesting things when they hacked into it. In fact, they found that she had cheated Bernie Sanders in the primaries and so forth, which was an interesting moment. But the point is, cybersecurity, if I were president, I would have to bring together people who understood cybersecurity and that technology to do what we needed to do to defend America. But the other point kind of devolved into an argument about who did what in the Middle East. It's a total mess, Mr. Trump said. Well, he's right about that. It is a total mess. He failed to point out that Mrs. Clinton's actions in Libya and in Syria and Benghazi, places like that, attributed to the arming of ISIS. They talked a lot about how they wanted to destroy ISIS. They both want to do that. He says he's going to bomb the hell out of them, I think is the expression that he used. And she wants to intensify the bombing. Everybody wants to intensify war. You know, war is a great myth that it solves all of our problems. The truth is kind of dirty. You know, people don't like to look at it because it says something about you. When you face the truth, sometimes it's not pretty. But the truth is that war doesn't solve every problem that we have. In fact, it causes problems. The main thing it solves is life. It solves life completely away. So I would recommend very strongly that we look at some other alternative other than who we can kill. Sometimes there are people out there who need killing. That, you know, I admit that. And when that happens, you have to do it to protect your society, your way of life, and your people and so forth. But it's a lot more rare than these people seem to think. I recommend a more non-interventionist approach and a more cooperative approach with other countries such as Russia. Why are we not cooperating with Russia to destroy ISIS? That is a mystery. I don't get it, but that's what's happening. So that was primarily the final part of the security analysis was homegrown security, the homegrown terrorist, I guess you could say. And I thought the candidates did a poor job of that. In fact, they didn't really even discuss it. They didn't really get into that portion of it. But I will say that it's hard to talk about terrorists in America, terrorists walking our streets. How can you talk about that without talking about border security? Which they didn't cover very much but in the debate. But border security is absolute job number one. Why should we be over fighting terrorists in Syria when we let them walk freely across our border? In fact, we import them all the time. We bring them in, we resettle them in our cities. Now, granted, 99.9% of these people are just honest, hardworking people, but it only takes one. We should be vetting these people to know who's coming in. That's my view anyway. We should secure our borders before we have open-ended immigration. That's the way I see it. Well, that was kind of the debate. That's the way it went. As I said earlier, it was a very intense debate. You couldn't help but be nervous just watching it. So you can only imagine what it was like for these candidates standing up there in front of the whole world. I'm told that there were 100 million people watching. I bet that's probably a small number. I mean, billions watch the sporting events that happen around the world, the World Cup, the Super Bowl, things like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it was that high for this thing. There was that much interest and intensity about it. I would love to have been an actual part of it, but it seems that the mainstream does not want to hear from me or to hear my message. But fortunately, we have this video, and I'm able to give you at least a few things about the debate and about what I would have said. As I said, folks, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Thank you very much for listening.